Good morning, Hope. I want to talk to you today about how do you overcome the summertime blues? And I ask that, of course, because the fact is this, that life is not all fun and games. I mean, I wish it were, right? We all have problems. We all have difficulties. In fact, I think that's why Jesus warned us in his word that in this world you will have tribulation. In fact, how many of you would agree with that verse, right? Everybody, right? Because the truth is simple. Nobody's exempt from this. And I think primarily when we talk about hurt, we hurt in three ways, don't we? We hurt physically, you know, we have our cuts and our scratches and our bumps and our bruises. And some of you, and this is the worst part, but some of you live in constant pain, and that's no laughing matter. It is a real hurt to be living with continual pain. We hurt emotionally, of course, and that's a little bit more hidden maybe, but it's often harder to deal with than the physical pain. I mean, how do you deal with the emotional hurts and the fear and the worry and the anger and the guilt and the grief and the depression that just come upon us in this life? How do you get relief from those things? We hurt relationally. And this is probably the most difficult type of hurt to deal with, to be honest, because it's a hurt that is caused by other people. And the truth is, it's just a fact of life that you're going to be hurt by other people. So you need to learn how to deal with it, with this hurt as well as you're going through life. As we think about this, sometimes it's misunderstanding, sometimes it's conflict, sometimes it's loneliness, sometimes it's rejection, sometimes it's misappropriated criticism, right? But the question is, how do you deal with these kinds of hurts that other people build into your lives? As we look at the book of Psalms this morning, what we're going to find and what we're going to see is that every gamut of emotion is expressed in the words of David, right? In the section that we're going to take a look at, David actually spills his guts. He just lays it all out there and he says, "This is the way I feel." And so in this passage that we're going to be taking a look at today, I want you to see four ways, really, to handle hurts that don't work. And then I want you to see the way that does. And the reason why I want to look at David as a model for the ways that don't work is because that all four of these ways are the most common ways that we deal with our hurt today. In Psalm 34, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." So God is just saying here that you're never closer to God than when you're hurting. David knew that from personal experience. And that's really the bottom line of this message today. God is close to you when you're hurting. So the question is, what do we do? Well, number one, don't ignore it. That's the first point, right? And let me say that again so you don't miss it. Don't ignore your hurt. And this is what I call, I don't know, the Bruce Willis approach to pain. A lot of you guys know I'm a big diehard fan, right? One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. But what I'm talking about here is this is the macho approach. I'm tough, so grin and bear it. So I'm just going to do what? I'm going to ignore it for as long as possible. And the truth is we do this because we convince ourselves that if we can just ignore it long enough, maybe we'll just go away. In Psalm 32, verse 3, it says, "There was a time I wouldn't admit my sin, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration." So ask yourself this question. What am I pretending not to know right now? What hurt am I simply trying to ignore? Some of you have children on drugs that you're pretending not to know it. Some of you have had an affair in your marriage and you're pretending to ignore it. Some of you, your marriage is dying and you're pretending that it's not happening. Some of you are not making it at work and you're pretending that everything's okay. But why do we do that, right? I mean, why do we pretend? And I think it's because we think if I can just ignore it, maybe it will go away. Yeah, David says this. He says, "When I don't admit my hurt, when I don't admit where I've blown it, when I don't admit my sin, all that does is it makes me more miserable and more frustrated, and I can feel it." And so how do you know when you're trying to ignore a problem? Well, I think one of the big, tells, I guess you would call it, is you procrastinate. One of these days, I'm going to go to the dentist. One of these days, I'm going to get surgery. One of these days, I'm going to get some marriage counseling. One of these days, I'm going to confront my mother-in-law. We always postpone, it seems, what's painful. It's a fact of life for most people, human nature. We try to ignore it by postponing it, and yet notice what happens when we do that. David again says, "It makes me miserable and frustrated because denying a hurt never heals the hurt. It only makes it worse." Procrastination tends to turn minor problems into major problems. As an example of that, if you wait till April 14th to do your taxes, you've got a big problem. Postponing pain never solves the problem, ever. The fact is, procrastination turns minor problems into major ones almost every time. I guess as proof of that, some of you have had a problem now for over 30 years, and you're still thinking about it, and it still bothers you, and it still hurts you. Time does not heal everything. So point one, number one, Scripture gives us in this, don't ignore hurt. Second point God gives us is this. He says, don't hide it either. Now, this is the person who says, I'm not going to ignore it, but I'm just not going to tell anybody else about it either, right? And so what do? You wear a mask. And to be honest, we're pretty good at masquerading. In Psalm 39, verse 2 and 3, it says, I kept quiet, not saying a word, but my suffering only grew worse. I was overcome with anxiety. And the more I thought, the more troubled I became. Have you ever noticed how we hate to admit it when we feel, when we have these deep feelings? You're angry. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. We don't like to admit when we hurt, and so we hide our hurt. We wear a mask. We play a game in marriage that I don't like at all. It's called, Is Something Wrong? It goes something like this. Is something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. No, I can tell that's not true. Something's wrong. No, everything's just fine, but I can tell something's wrong, you know, and on it goes. My question is, why don't we just admit it? I don't know, but we don't, and we hide our hurts. Many of us have become pretty good at disguising our hurts, to be honest. You disguise it by nice clothes and nice cars. Many of you think, if I could just get a certain thing, you know, then I'd be happy, right? If I could just get a Mercedes, then life would be great. If I could just save enough money to take a vacation. If I could just remodel the house. Actually, if I could just buy a house, right? If I could just buy something, purchase of happiness, right? Then everything would be great. But the fact is that possessions never compensate for pain. I know a lot of people who have everything they want, and yet they're still hurting very, very, very deeply. Truth is, hiding a hurt only intensifies it. David goes on to say this. He says, as a result of hiding it, I was overcome with anxiety, and I became more and more troubled. And truth be told, that's why at Hope we are committed to openness and honesty and unconditional acceptance, because the fact is that nobody's perfect. Nobody is making it. Nobody has got it all together. I don't, you don't, so let's stop pretending. That's what James 5:16 says anyway. It says, confess your faults to one another. Why? Because you can't start working on a fault until you admit that you have one. To yourself, to God, to other people. Revealing your feeling, God says, is always the beginning of healing. What else does Scripture say? It says, don't resent your hurt. And this is where we give into self-pity, right? Poor me. You have a pity party. That David discovered that didn't work either, right? That the resentment doesn't work either. In Psalm 73, verse 21 and 22, it says this. When my thoughts were bitter and my feelings were hurt, I did not understand you, O God. He says, I don't understand the situation, right? I don't understand what God's doing, what I'm doing. I don't understand anything because resentment has clouded my mind. I'm going to tell you, there is one thing that is more harmful than your hurt, whatever it is. I mean, regardless of where you're hurting, there is one thing more harmful than that hurt, and that is to become resentful about that hurt. Resentment is so much worse than anything you'll ever hurt over, I promise you. Because if you become resentful, it just becomes a poison that prolongs the hurt and clouds the issue and keeps you from having joy or peace or experiencing forgiveness. Why? Well, this is the interesting thing about resentment. Truth is, the past can't hurt you any longer unless you let it, unless you allow it to hurt you. A resentment will never change what's happened. It happened, right? It's over, it's dead, it's finished. You don't change the past. You just sort of ruin the future with resentment. So God says you got to let it go. The past is past, and nothing is going to change that. James Covey once said that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond. Got to let go of that 10%. Not all resentment in the world can change anything. In fact, one of the facts of life is that as long as I'm fixing the blame, I cannot fix the problem. And you're going to spend your energy in life doing one or the other, fixing the blame, who's at fault, or fixing the problem. You don't believe me? Look at Washington. Some of you in marriage right now need to quit fixing the blame and start fixing the problem. Instead of you turning your energy against one another, like they do in DC, turn your energy together against the problem and work on it that way. You'll be bitter or you'll be better. It's your choice, always. Many of you are allowing people in your past to continue to hurt you in the present, and that doesn't make any sense. David says, when my thoughts were bitter and my feelings were hurt, I did not understand you. I withdrew into a shell and protected myself. I made myself miserable. The truth is, we usually try these first three, and when none of them work, we decide, I don't know what to do, right? There's usually naturally assume there's only one kind of alternative left, and that's to throw in the towel. So the last point I'm going to give you today is simply this. Don't give up. David says, I tried this too, and it didn't work either. So I'll say it again. Don't give up. Maybe this is the stage that you're at this morning. Maybe you've been carrying a hurt for so long that you're thinking, what's the use, right? Why even try? I'm at the end of my rope. I want to throw in the towel. I'm sort of like Humpty Dumpty. Nothing can put me back together again. I mean, it's over. I've tried too long and my life is out of control. I'm going to give up. Well, if this is you this morning, then David knows exactly how you feel. He knew what it was like to hit rock bottom. In Psalm 130, verse 1 and 2, he said, from the depth of my despair, I call to you, O Lord. Hear my cry, Lord. Listen to my call for help. A lot of you have been through all these things, right? And you're tempted not to do this last one. But my encouragement to you is this. Keep on keeping on and never give up. Have you ever been in a relay where they fill up the glass, right, with water to the very top, and you walk down to one end of the thing and hand it to somebody else, and they walk it back and forth it goes, and then at the end of the relay race, the person who has the most water in the glass wins. If you fill that glass up to the very brim, you know what's going to happen. If you jiggle it just slightly, it spills out, and because it's so full. Well, some of you this morning are so full of hurt that any little stress devastates you. It unnerves you. Any little thing can tick you off. You've got so much hurt in your life, right up to the brim, that any slight thing that goes wrong in your life, any little jiggle that happens, you spill out all over and you come apart. And even if you don't show it outwardly, you know it's happening inwardly. So what do? David says in Psalm 142, verse 2 and 3, I bring God all my complaints. I tell him all my troubles. When I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. He says, instead of giving up, give it over. In fact, that's the first step, to give my hurt over to God. He's the only one that can do anything about it anyway. I can't. He says, when I'm ready to give up, when I'm ready to throw in the towel, I bring all my complaints to him, and he knows what to do. So when you feel powerless to change a situation, then you look to a power beyond yourself. God is greater than your problems always. So trust him. He's got you. And let him begin to heal you one step at a time through his word. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said it this way. He says, when you know the truth, which is in the Bible, he says, that truth will set you free. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We do. And we thank you for pursuing us with your love. It's been a constant theme this summer. And Lord, especially when we're hurting like this, and all of us can kind of resonate with this message this morning. We hurt in just different ways at different times. But Father, in the midst of that hurt, in the midst of that pain, we just pray that you would comfort us, that you would remind us that you've got us, that you would continue to pursue us with your love and with your promises, that you remind us even in this in-between that we're experiencing, that you are working all things for our good and your glory. Father, help that give us some encouragement. Let that give us some hope for the days ahead. And we pray that today, knowing that you've got us, knowing that you love us. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.